Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Good to see you all in this fall, crisp morning. Isn't it beautiful? The leaves are changing. If you'd like to see leaves, you can come to my place. If you love to rake them, you can definitely come to my place. It is a fun time. It's beautiful to see nature doing its thing out there. And I don't think we tend to think of ourselves as slowing down in the fall, but it is a good time to take life at a little bit more leisurely pace and enjoy and begin to bundle up a little bit. Speaking of bundling up, I was thinking about a story, a true story. This happened during a winter. It was the first winter of the pandemic. And an elder told me about this. She was out shopping, and there was an elderly woman heading into a store, and she slipped in front of the store and fell down, and she hit her head, and she couldn't get up. It was cold, and a man walked by, and she said, "Can you please help me?" But this was a time when masks were required in all stores, and she had intended to put one on, but she slipped before she could get it, and she wasn't able to reach it. And the man said, "Well, do you have a mask?" And she replied, "Well, I can't get it right now. I just fell." And again, she had just hit her head. Well, the man decided she was too big a risk, even though they were outside, et cetera, and left her there on the sidewalk and walked away. Our church member observed this, and she went over to the woman who fell. She helped the elderly woman up. She tended to her needs. They masked up as required, whatever the regimen was at that time for the store, and they went into the store together and made sure that the elderly woman was okay. I thought of this story this week because our scripture verse today and our focus today is the word kindness. Kindness, scripturally speaking, is a sign of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the same way that fruit is the sign of a healthy tree. And I'm so glad that we have elders in our church who are kind. Last week, we began a new message series called Life in the Spirit, the Life of Fulfillment. And until Christmas, we'll be focusing on just one scripture passage, Galatians chapter 5. You know, it's interesting, just a side comment, Christianity doesn't lack for people walking around knowing a lot about the Bible. What we lack are people knowing how to practice a little of it really, really well. And that's kind of where I'm heading here, is how do we practice a little of it and some of the most important parts of it really, really well? It doesn't help to know a lot and practice a little. I think the Lord would have us practice a lot and know less. Just practice, practice, practice. If you remember the Gospel of John, Jesus gave his disciples a treasure so that they would not miss his physical presence or forget his teachings. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Jesus breathes on his disciples. That's the word that is given there. And that, if I'm not mistaken, the word for breath and spirit there in that passage are the same. And it is something of a very intimate, it is very intimate imparting, but also signaling that it is to be intimate with us, that the Holy Spirit is like our breath. And we Presbyterians believe that we are sealed into the Spirit at baptism. I will say observationally that sometimes we don't necessarily see the flame of the Holy Spirit ignite in a person's life until very later in life, but whenever that happens, it happens, and sometimes it's just a gradual practice where we come into, maybe it's not a dramatic experience at all, maybe we are just practicing the flow of God's love within us, the flow of the presence of the Spirit in us, and all of a sudden through prayer and other practices, we are living a full life in the Spirit. And this is a life of fulfillment in so many ways. First of all, it is personally fulfilling to live life in the Spirit. But also, when we are living life in the Spirit, we are filling Christ's plan that we are going to be a people sent out into the world to bear God's presence and continue Christ's mission on earth. That's the theological piece of this. So we're going to practice, and it's going to be this lens of Galatians chapter 5. And the reason that we are going to use Galatians chapter 5 is there is a list. And that list is a rubber meets the road kind of list. I can look at that list on any given day and say, I'm in the flow or I'm not. I can look at that list and like a mirror, it will reflect back to me what I am doing in my life and how I am doing and how life in the Holy Spirit is going. I was thinking, you know, there is so much going on in our world, and there's this impending election, and next month we head into the holiday season, and we're going to get busy, and our credit cards, they don't change weight, but they somehow feel heavier that time of year. It's been my experience. We can get stressed about that. And the question is, no matter what is going on out there, whether it's an election or it's a news cycle or it's something else in our lives, who are we going to be? That is the question, is who are we going to be as followers of Jesus? And again, we can come back to this list in Galatians 5 and we can say, we're living it today. We need to root down into prayer a little, spend a little extra time because we're not there. But what Galatians tells us, what Paul tells us in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 is this, that the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, what a healthy tree yields is fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in somebody's life is, let's say them together, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And Paul says, there's no law against any of that. You can do that all the live long day. That's fine. We're starting in the middle of the list, if you weren't here last week, because I'm saving love, joy, and peace closer to Advent. So we're in the middle of the list. Last week, I talked about patience and my lack thereof and how I grappled with that. I think most of the time I'm kind, but I don't always feel kind. So I want to talk about kindness today. What do you think of when you think of kindness? Is it the same thing as being nice? Do you think those are the same thing? Because I can be nice. I can be nice in a very unkind way. I can also be nice in a superficial way. I wonder if kindness is superficial. I don't think of any of the fruits of the Spirit as being superficial. So maybe that means they're very different. I think of kindness as flowing from a heart that is truly kind and not conflicted with anger, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. I think. Okay, there it is. Got it. Thanks for being patient. It was a test. This is a test on how we did last week. Years ago, a family of several generations was able to attend church together here before some of them moved out of state. And one of them was the great-grandmother, who I think was in her 90s, and she was one of the ones who moved with her daughter, who was in her, I think, 60s. And so the third generation was still here in Mount Airy, and I said to the dad, who was local, I said, you know, I miss seeing your grandmother-in-law. And he paused and said, yeah, he said, she liked you. And I thought, I kind of laughed, and I said, well, I sort of assumed that she liked me. Like, I, you know, he said, no, I wouldn't assume with her. I wouldn't assume that at all, actually. She can be a bit of a pistol. She was on her best behavior at church. You know, kindness maybe isn't something we should take for granted because it is more than being nice. And there are things that obscure kindness. There are things that cloud kindness. And I want to talk about some of the killers of kindness. The first, I think, one of them is jealousy. Jealousy is a pretty straightforward one. Jealousy and kindness cannot coexist in the same space at the same time, in the same body at the same time. Kindness radiates from a heart that is whole and happy and grateful. Jealousy says, I am not whole. I want what you have. Jealousy can sort of talk over our impulses to be kind. The second is bitterness. I think that this is a little nuanced. Bitterness can happen in the moment. What do you mean you forgot to do that chore and I have to do it now? Why didn't you just empty the dishwasher? Now I have to do it again for the fifth time this week. Or I can't believe I didn't get that raise, but he or she did. Or that promotion when I got looked over and passed over. There are lots of opportunities in life to be bitter. And it can accumulate over time. Bitterness, I think, is also the opposite of hope. I had a hope or expectation that life would be this way, but it's not. And I'm bitter about that. All of a sudden, is a bitter person usually kind at the same time? Typically not. From Preaching Today, the website, comes a story of how a very bitter man in Israel, he petitioned for a restraining order against God. He represented himself at a court hearing in a port city north of Israel, and the report noted that God was not present to defend himself. Of course, God was present, but theologically speaking, but wasn't there in bodily form in the courtyard. And this man told the court that God had been treating him, quote, harshly and not nicely, though no specific details were given about exactly what helped make him feel that way. He also explained that he had made several attempts to contact police to report God's alleged crimes, and patrol cars had been sent to his house on 10 occasions. Police jokingly referred to him and referred him to the magistrate's office to take out a restraining order on God. Well, this restraining order was denied. Who said the magistrate said the request was delusional and that he needed a little help from another source. Well, he was a bitter man, and bitterness and kindness don't tend to exist in the same place. I can't imagine that he was terribly kind. He seemed very angry. Bitterness, I think, also can harden into resentment. Those are really kind of twins, bitterness and resentment. I'm bitter, my bitterness is not resolved, and now I kind of shut down, and I become a person with smoldering bitterness that's a resentful person, like just starting to resent things. Also from that same website, Preaching Today, was a description from the book called Being Nixon. Apparently, at one point in his presidency, Nixon realized that he would never be as popular with people as Eisenhower, and he was jealous about it. And he was sitting with one of his speechwriters, a man named Ray Price, and they were talking about this and Eisenhower. And one of the things that set Eisenhower apart, Nixon said, everybody loved Ike. But the reverse of that, I guess, was that Ike loved everybody. He never hated his critics, not even the press. He'd say, I'm just a little puzzled by those guys in the press. Price could picture Nixon's mind working, catching himself. Nixon knew that what he said was not quite true. It was too hard to believe that Ike never felt anger. The difference was that Ike had a blow up and would get over it, while Nixon let it fester. At some level, Nixon might have wished to be more like Ike, but he couldn't, and possibly he didn't want to. For him, for Nixon, the resentment of those he didn't like, though toxic, was vital to the way that he operated. That was this person's take. Jealousy, bitterness, resentment, these are all they suffocate kindness. And there are others. Anger, sometimes our lives are just, sometimes we're not in a good place. Sometimes, if you've known somebody who is in, I take care of people who are in chronic pain with acupuncture. If you know someone who's in chronic pain, they change. They're not themselves because they feel bad all the time and they're irritated about it and edgy about it. Sometimes our heart isn't kind because, well, we're consumed by something else. And maybe it's not always our fault. Maybe it's grief or grief with deep sadness. And at the moment, we're not maybe our kindest self. We're not necessarily a bad person. It's just that we're in a difficult place. Sometimes, though, sometimes we're angry. And that anger and that irritation, I particularly think about this during election cycles or connected to politics, that we get riled up or upset or irritated or angry, and then we find that we turn around, we're not the kindest version of ourselves. There was a Indian writer by the name of Eknath S. Warren. I think he was probably Hindu. I believe he might have been raised in a Catholic school. He was very friendly to Christians. He quoted the Bible a lot. He had a very wise thing to say about this, and he's thinking about Proverbs, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Sometimes when we're angry, we don't have that soft answer. We actually answer in ways that, well, wrath just comes right back to us, and we put it out there, it comes back to us. S. Warren says, when you feel angry towards someone and you want to say something unkind, that is all the more reason in that moment to speak kindly instead. If someone provokes you and you respond with anger, you are reinforcing anger as a part of your personality. So returning kindness for unkindness is not simply being kind to that particular person, you're also being kinder to yourself because you're undoing a compulsion in you, taking one more step towards being free. You're turning wrath away from yourself as well as being kind to the other person. And this is why kindness is so much more than just being nice in a moment. It's so much more than something on a greeting card. It's a spiritual discipline of turning away from wrath directed toward others, wrath bubbling up in ourselves. And when we practice kindness, it can evaporate unkindness and wrath. Again, I alluded to this earlier in the worship service. Sometimes we think of kindness as, well, you know, like we can be strong and tough or kind. There's this idea that for men in the room, that when we grow up, that we're supposed to be like a really tough male and strong all the time and never cry. And you know, you look at the movies and they do this to women too with different stereotypes. With in the TV and movies with males, it's like the wounded tough male who's a little removed and mysterious, the right amount of stubble on his face, the leather jacket, right? And he's maybe a little put off putting an abrasive, right? That's the hero. That's the male hero in so many shows and film. And I want to say that being abrasive is not strong. And I want to say that kindness is not wimpy. Kindness is very powerful. And I want to show you an example of that today. And Dina's going to cue up a clip. I'm going to let it run for a couple minutes because I found it very powerful. This is our titan of kindness, a spiritual director named Fred Rogers, who was also a Presbyterian minister. Now, in this well-known clip, the young Reverend Fred Rogers is called before Congress to defend funding for public broadcasting on which his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, depends. And there is a senator who is supposed to take Rogers down. He is supposed to be his inquisitor. And he starts out by saying dismissively in this clip, "All right, Rogers, you've got the floor." Now watch how this is kind of mid-dialogue here that we're going to show for about 2 or 3 minutes. But watch how Mr. Rogers turns it all around by simply being honest and kind. And watch what effect that has on this senator. Let's watch. And let's bring the lights down a little bit too so that the screen's a little easier to see. Amazing, isn't it? You know, kindness, like patience, is a work of the Holy Spirit. It heals the world around us, and it heals us too. We don't have to be naturally or easily or automatically kind. Some temperaments are more given to that than others. That's okay. We just have to practice. We just have to practice. Where are you this morning, and where do you stand with regard to kindness? Is it radiating through, or is there something obstructing? Whatever that obstruction could be, let's begin working through it now with a brief prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we lift up our jealous moments, our bitter moments, our feelings of resentment in life, our hurt, our frustration, our irritation, and we ask for healing from those moments and emotions, the ability to move on, the ability to graduate from them into something better. And we ask through the power of your Holy Spirit, you help us to practice replacing those negative memories and emotions with kindness, with the practice of kindness. May the practice of kindness overwrite the code and the execution of the code of irritation and anger and frustration in our lives. And may that kindness radiate through us to others so that there is no doubt in us or in them that the Holy Spirit is at work. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.